This morning we turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We read this chapter in a connection with our treatment of Lord's Day 50. Give us this day our daily bread. We hear God's word. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. We read God's word that far. May God bless his word to our hearts. As I stated, we do so in connection with Lord's Day 50, question and answer 125. Found in the back of our Psalters on page 26. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask as we approach this petition, why do we ask for bread? Why today is this petition yet necessary? We're not like the Israelites. The Israelites of old had to get up every morning and go searching for manna. They picked up sufficient manna in order to provide for them that day's nourishment. We have refrigerators, we have freezers, we have cupboards, we have homes. There's especially two reasons, and we'll get into more with regard to the reason why this petition yet is crucial for us today. First of all, this petition makes it so that the one who is wealthy, who's a millionaire, as well as the one who may be homeless and have nothing, are both on the same level. They're both admonished to look to God for their daily needs. Both must confess, all that I have comes from God. But secondly, there's the plural that's used here. Give us this day our daily bread. And the plural is used to direct us to a love for the body, a love for the brethren. As the elders have been going house to house with family visitation, making use of the passage in 1 Corinthians 12, we're reminded of the fact that we do not live selfishly. We live in connection with a body. The wealthy, the rich, pray for the poor. The poor, pray for the rich. God distributes unequally. And God distributes unequally deliberately in order to make it so that we are dependent on one another. Just as the arm is dependent upon the brain to tell it what to do and where to turn, so each individual member is dependent upon the other members of the body. And we need one another within the congregation. God gives and God withholds for the purpose that we grow in our understanding of our dependence upon the body. Now we know that within us there's always that desire for more. We are covetous and we are greedy by nature. We want comfort. We want riches. We want possessions. The passage that we read is a passage we need to read often in order to remind us of the way of obedience, the way of contentment, and of the tragedy of falling prey to a love for the things of this life. God ordains the Lord's Prayer as a continual reminder to us of the need for contentment as we go through life. The first three petitions, as we noted, are about God and our relationship to God. The next petitions have to do with us and our life here below. But we understand the close relationship. It's only because of our pursuit of God's will, His glory, and the cause of His kingdom that we now take up the matter of our earthly needs. God gives us in Christ a right to earthly possessions. There's nothing wrong with having nice possessions. As the passage that we read stated, we're to make use of them. God gives us richly all things to enjoy in verse 17. But we must not set our heart on them. We must not pursue them as ends in themselves. We also confess God gives it to us. This is our bread. It's that which God entrusts to us. We have no right to it by nature, but in Christ, we become those who are stewards of all that God gives. And we seek to use it then for His glory and in His service. God gives us that care for and that love for our brethren so that we don't come with just an individual prayer. Give us today my daily bread. But we come in the Spirit, our daily bread. And our prayer is that God make us acknowledge Him alone as the fountain of all good gifts. And that increasingly we show our contentment and our dependence upon Him. We look at this petition, taking as our theme our daily bread, noting first of all the satisfaction that's required here, the trust, and finally, the complete dependence upon our Heavenly Father. This prayer is an expression of satisfaction with the necessities that God has given to us. It's a prayer about contentment. We're praying for our earthly bread. We're not praying for bread in abundance, just bread for today. Now, there are some who deny the earthly aspect of this petition, saying that Jesus surely would not mean here that we're just praying for earthly nourishment. He has to be talking about something spiritual. And immediately then try to make this spiritual instead of referring to physical bread, imagining it's beneath the Christian to pray just for earthly things. Jesus here is teaching us to pray for plain bread, earthly bread. And there's nothing wrong in that. Our Lord Himself teaches it to us in connection again with the preceding petitions. Thy will be done. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. We need bread. And we need bread so that we can then glorify God in all of the various aspects of life. Now, as you children know, the reference here to bread is figurative. It's not just talking about bread. It's talking about all of our earthly needs, using bread as a figure of speech to refer to everything that we have a need for. Food, drink, clothing, shelter, all of the earthly things that are necessary for our pilgrimage here below. At the same time, we're not praying for appetizers and for desserts and for fancy clothes that are either like or different from someone else. We're not praying in a presumptive way, implying that we deserve all of this and God ought to give it to us and even must give it to us. We're praying humbly, acknowledging dependence upon the living God, asking for our daily needs. Jesus says, don't live so that you can eat, but instead eat so that you can live. Bread then doesn't include luxuries. Now again, not because we may not have those luxuries, not because God does not richly provide us with all things. God gives us so much more than we stand in need of. And we acknowledge that this morning. We're called to thankfulness for what God has given us. And God has given us so much. In that thankfulness, we continue to pray so that we're not setting our hearts upon those things. Now, often, we feel like hypocrites when we take this petition on our lips. How can I pray this prayer when I have a freezer full of meat? When I have cupboards full of food? When I have a beautiful home and I have so much? Sometimes even we feel guilt. Perhaps we buy a new home or we buy a new vehicle. Even though we have the means to afford it and we're living as stewards, yet there's a tinge of guilt there. This prayer brings us to examine our hearts. How are we making use of that which God has given us? It's wrong for us to set our heart on the things of this earth. It's wrong to seek them as an end in themselves. But there are certain things we need in order to live to God. Other things we don't need, we simply want. And they're not included, as verse 8 stated, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. There are times when God gives us far more than we stand in need of, so that we have extra. Again, we remember then our relationship to our fellow saints. To give for the causes of the kingdom, for the benefit of others, the benevolence, but also to save up for future expenses, especially Christian school tuition, to take care that we're not abusing what God has given us, but using it wisely in His service. A love for and a seeking of earthly things is described by the apostle here as an erring from the faith in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's easy for us to stray, to err from the faith. in our greediness. And then our prayer becomes very difficult. And James talks about the challenge of praying this petition when we're consumed with greed and with covetousness. James 4 verse 3 talks about asking and not receiving, because we're asking amiss. And the idea there is that our focus is not on God. It's not on God's glory. It's not on seeking to use what we have for God and His glory. But our focus instead is on our own selfish wants and desires. Now, when we're consumed with the things of this earth, we don't quit praying. We don't deny God. But we keep asking for things that we want. Things that we want for ourselves, for our children. Things that will give us comfort and pleasure, we think. Things that wouldn't necessarily be needs for us as we serve God, but things that we want. And then it's easy for us to begin to live above our means. And we begin to live in such a way that we're trying to keep up with our siblings or keeping up with our friends. We're borrowing, but we don't know how we're going to pay it back. And eventually, after living above our means for a time, we find ourselves in deep financial trouble. God provides deacons to assist, not necessarily financially, but sometimes with good advice in order to help us and to guide us so that we are able to escape that bondage, patiently to sit down with us, parents who can assist us and to lead us so that we can again glorify God with our finances. When we ask God for what we want, and when we become consumed with greed and covetousness, then our prayers become frustrating because God is not granting us often that for which we pray. God is glorified by our seeking earthly things in His service. And the Bible's clear. We're dependent upon God. As we opened the service with Psalm 104, Psalm 104 speaks of the cattle, it speaks of the lions, all the animals, all of the various plants, as well as man, waiting on God for their food and drink. Now, these animals don't consciously depend on God. They don't glorify God in their dependence. But we do as God's children. We glorify God. We look to God in our dependence. The wicked refuse to do so. But God, by His grace, works in us in acknowledgement. I am dependent upon Him. And I pray for satisfaction with what God has been pleased to give. This prayer then, beloved, teaches humility. It teaches us not to seek the things of this earth. It's so easy, again, for us to be filled with covetousness and greed, to seek earthly treasures. These things so quickly and easily become the main focus of our lives and end in themselves. They consume our time and our energy so that we don't have time for the things of God's kingdom. This petition warns us against that covetousness, and it directs us to the proper focus of our life before God. Daily bread for Christ's sake. Daily bread for the sake of our unity as a body of Jesus Christ. As we pray this petition, we confess that we are strangers and pilgrims. This isn't our home. And that 1 Timothy 6 makes abundantly clear. We're going to die. And what happens when we die? We brought nothing into this world, verse 7. And it's certain we can carry nothing out. We're living as those who will not be able to take with us anything that we have when we die. Our eye is on that glorious city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is Jehovah. And everything in our life then is subservient to that goal, that desire. As we journey through this life, our eye of faith is on that glorious city. And we labor as those who are seeking the glory that awaits. We're not concerned then about extras. We're interested in what it takes in order to enable me to get to that glorious city. Give us this day our daily bread. When we think in that line, we think of how we prepare to go on a hike. If you're going to the Rocky Mountains and you're going to go on a 3 or 4 day hike up into the mountains. You need to pack with you everything that you need for that trip. Everything has to be carried in and carried out. So you don't want to take anything more than you absolutely need. And so tremendous planning is required. You're even weighing the things that you're taking along to the ounce and deciding, am I going to include this or would I include this instead? And we're throwing some stuff out. We're putting other stuff in. I don't want too little because then I won't have enough to make it. But I want too much because then I'm going to be burdened down for the trip. And so I want just enough to be able to make it there and back. Think of Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Food convenient. Not too much, not too little. Just what I stand in need of. What a prayer, beloved. By God's grace, that's the prayer that you and I take upon our lips when we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. Not for many years in the future. Not even for tomorrow. I don't know if I'm going to even need it tomorrow. I might not even be here anymore. My pilgrimage may be over. None of us knows if we're going to be living tomorrow or the next week. Today, day by day, that's the sufficiency, the contentment with which we pray. And we do so expressing then our trust in our Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven. God requires of us a childlike trust. Today is the day for which we pray. We take no thought for tomorrow. Now you know as well as I how difficult that is. Faith looks to God. Worry looks ahead. What if our children are filled with what if questions? At school we hear them. In catechism we hear them. At home we hear them. What's our response to our children? We say, we can't answer those questions. We don't know the answer to what if. What's going to happen? We don't know. We can't answer that. We have all kinds of questions about the future, all kinds of concerns that rise up by nature, but we don't know. And we can make ourselves very busy worrying, consuming ourselves with what ifs. And with tomorrow. Jesus says no. Pray for daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about all the consuming questions that rise up in your mind and in your heart. Give us this day our daily bread. Depend on your Heavenly Father to provide you with everything that you need today. And as you pass down life's pilgrimage, this petition teaches us to look up with regard to tomorrow. We trust God. By faith, we look to Him. My peace of mind and security with regard to tomorrow does not come from looking around me, opening my freezer, looking in my pantry, checking out what I have at home in the cupboards. That's not where I'm going to get my peace of mind. It's not going to come from looking at my bank account, checking out my retirement savings. My peace of mind for tomorrow is going to come from looking up to God today by faith. My Father, who is in heaven, will care for me. I trust in Him. He cares for me in life and in death. The death of His saints is precious in His sight. If my death is precious in His sight, how much more my life? And how much more I'm assured then that He's going to take care of me. He's going to watch over me. And He's going to provide everything I stand in need of. If He's providing for the lilies of the valley and for the sparrows and for all of the animals all about, how much more for me, His blood-bought child? And I look to Him. And I do so with the assurance my heavenly Father will grant me all I stand in need of. Jehovah God does not want his beloved children to go to bed at night with their hearts filled with worry and anxiety regarding the morrow. God pledges his love for us regardless of the outward circumstances of our lives. There may be so many what ifs, so many unknowns that we would be consumed with fear and worry. We would spend sleepless nights. God says, look to me. I am your heavenly Father. Trust in me. Give us this day our daily bread. The economy is uncertain. It still doesn't seem to be making much progress in some areas. This year may mean significant changes for some of us outside of our control. This year may mean that we're not going to take in the income that we did last year. We don't worry. We work. We diligently give ourselves to the pursuit of the labor that God has called us to. And we look to God. We look up. We look by faith. And we trust Jehovah God will grant me what I need day by day. I don't know how the election's going to turn out. I don't know what kind of impact that's going to have on my life as a Christian, on my life as a businessman, as a farmer. Tremendous what ifs loom in the future. But rather than being consumed by them, I trust. I look up by faith. It's not a sin that we have more than we need today. We're not to throw it all out and try to live more simply so that we're living day by day. We must not lean on again, and we may not trust in those things. We don't allow ourselves to run ahead to tomorrow because we're not trusting in God for what our present needs are. But trusting that God, as my Heavenly Father, will grant me all that I need. Now, beloved, this also doesn't mean that we live like some do, spending all of their money then every single day that they receive it, and then starting a new day, broke, and trusting that God is going to give them more that new day. There are times when we're not stewardly with our money. We live far beyond our means. We're working continually to pay for things that we've already bought, money that we've already spent. That's the way of bondage. That's the way that is hard on marriages. It's hard on relationships. And again, we need to seek advice then from parents. We seek advice from the deacons so that we can escape from that bondage. In our complicated world today, there's a need to budget. There's a need to plan ahead. Our needs are relative with regard to our situation, relative with regard to our generation, relative with regard to where we live. If you live in the Philippines, you don't need a furnace. We do, living here in Northwest Iowa. Years ago, our parents didn't need the internet. Today, we need the internet for the purpose of our children able to continue their education and their training. There are many things that change from one location to another pertaining to needs. There are some expenses that we can anticipate. We know that we're going to have to pay taxes. We have insurance payments. We have house payments. We plan ahead for these expenses, make careful use of our finances for God's sake. And through it all, we do so trusting in the Lord, looking to Him to provide us with what we stand in need of. It's important for us to note that this petition comes after the petition, "Thy will be done." A powerful reminder again, your possessions and my possessions will not make us happy. They will not give us joy nor contentment. Driving the nicest vehicle, living in the grandest home, are not going to add joy and happiness to our lives. Joy and happiness are found in the way of pursuing God's will. As we pursue God's will, God opens opportunities for us. God gives us the opportunity to enjoy beautiful homes, to drive nice vehicles, to own property, to own possessions. But we're always examining our hearts. We're evaluating whether these possessions are assisting us in the service of God, or are they standing in the way? We look to God to provide us contentment with what's necessary to carry out my calling and my office today. The question that we ask ourselves continually is this: what do I need in order to fulfill the will of my Heavenly Father in the position and place that God has put me today? What do I need so that I can obey His will, so that I can praise and glorify Him today? And if our prayer, beloved, is truly God-centered, then we're going to pray for our needs so that we can do God's will, so that we can acknowledge His kingdom and glorify and honor Him in the midst of this life. We don't need all the delicacies. We don't need all the fastest and the best, the most expensive. We don't need to have the trendiest. Something within us always wants those things, always wants more. But when our goal is related to our comfort, ourselves, what people think of us, the impression that we can leave on others, then these earthly things are going to take a role and a place that they ought not occupy. God teaches us to pray with His will central in our lives. Thy will be done. And our prayer then is God-centered. Not centered on me, not centered on my desires, my wants. But when our life is God-centered, then there will be contentment with what God gives. And contentment comes in the way of setting our heart on spiritual things, seeking the things that are above, praying by faith, and trusting Jehovah God. That trust ultimately is rooted in the relationship that God has given us. For Jesus' sake, God has adopted us to be His sons and daughters. We are sons and daughters of the Creator of heaven and earth. And for Jesus' sake, God has determined to lead me through this life to my heavenly home. For Jesus' sake, God will be with me. He will not forsake me. And He will guide and lead me through this pilgrimage here below. And for Jesus' sake, He will give me everything that I stand in need of. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, for my life, to glorify and to honor Him here below. I know God as my Father. And as my Father, He will not withhold from me any good thing that is necessary for me on this pilgrimage here below. That was the confession we made at the outset of our prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our fatherly God loves us. He cares for me. He knows my every need. He knows what you need today. He knows what you will need tomorrow. And that God is still going to be around tomorrow in order to determine and to give you what you need tomorrow. So that, beloved, this is a spiritual petition that requires a spiritual attitude. It's that which the child of God, by grace, prays, acknowledging, I trust in God, my Heavenly Father, who has loved me in Jesus Christ to provide me with everything necessary as His child. That, beloved, is the humble dependence that this prayer works within us by God's grace. We rely on God to give us our daily bread. God is the acknowledged giver. The Catechism stated that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. And we think of Scripture. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It cometh down from the Father of lights. James 1, verse 17. Everything that exists belongs to God. He's the one that causes the corn, the soybeans to grow. He's the one that causes the animals to grow, provides the food that we stand in need of from this earth. He's the one that renders to every individual his or her peculiar portion, giving intellectual gifts, giving physical strength, giving opportunities, giving work. God requires that in everything we acknowledge Him. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Deuteronomy 8, verses 10 and 11. God knowing our weakness and tendency to forget. Now there are some principles that we note here in connection with this prayer. First of all, we acknowledge God's sovereign providential control. Carelessly, sometimes we talk about the fact, it rained last night. It is sunny. Now as you use that language, remember, God brought that rain. God's the one that causes the sun to shine. God controls it all. Secondly, we express conscious dependence on that God. Everything that I have is a gift from God. What does that mean practically? I can't take pride in anything that I have, in anything that I am. Everything is from God. I can't take pride in my own ability. I can't take pride in what I've accomplished. I acknowledge that God is the one who's opened opportunities, who's given me everything that I have. Everything comes from God. He gave me my mind, my body, my ability, my job. He's the one who's opened opportunities for me. Thirdly, we expressed a childlike confidence in God alone. This great God, Jehovah, who's given me everything that I have and am, will take care of me. He loves me in Jesus Christ and from all eternity. And he cares for the creation about me not only, but he cares for me. And he will give unto me everything that I stand in need of as his blood-bought child. I pray for grace then to be content with what God gives. The earthly is subservient to the heavenly. This is not my home. God's leading me through this life to heaven. I may not have what others have. Because again, Jehovah God, in his fatherly love, does not distribute evenly. He deliberately distributes unevenly. I may wish that I had more. I must be content. And without contentment, I can't be thankful. And contentment is a work of God's grace. We realize it may be God's will then to withhold from me some things that I think I need. We learn through this petition to pray humbly, acknowledging that God's will is far above my will. I think I need healing, or I need answers in this situation, or I need this. I think that I need a spouse, or I need a child. God, in his sovereign heavenly love for me, knows better than I what is necessary. And we learn through this petition to acknowledge God's will be done. And finally, beloved, God enables us in this way to walk before him and to receive the bread and to make good use of it. We work faithfully in order to receive that bread. And then we make good use of what God has given to us. God calls us to work. God calls us to hard work. He called Adam already in the very beginning, before the fall, to subdue the creation, to work hard. After the fall, that work became a work now that's accompanied with sweat and with tears, with hardship. The Bible's clear. If a man won't work, he ought not eat, as 1 Thessalonians 5 points out. We don't feed that one who refuses to eat. He needs to learn the will of God is that he work. And then we learn that as we work and God gives, we in turn give. God places around us those who are more needy than we. God provides us with opportunity to support the various causes of his kingdom. He reminds us what you have is not yours to hang on to. You're going to die. You can't take it with you. You need to use it in my service and for my glory. Work. Give first to me. Pursue first the kingdom of Jehovah God and his will. And then trust that I will provide you with everything that you stand in need of. This prayer, beloved, then, is not just for the poor. It's for every pilgrim. It's for every traveler on the road to heaven. And it's a prayer not merely for when my pantry is empty. It's a prayer for when my pantry is full. This petition is a petition for one who has little as well as for one who has abundance. In our abundance, so easy it is for us to forget about God and to begin to put our trust in our jobs, our opportunities, our accomplishments. Pride swells up within us. Look at what I've done. I compare myself to others and say, they're more lazy than I, but I've been diligent. I've been faithful. We boast, if not with our lips, with our minds, with our hearts, with our thoughts. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at how successful I've been. Beloved, you have nothing of yourselves. All that you are and all that you have is a gift of God's grace. And we receive it then from our Heavenly Father, living in humility and in thankfulness. We pray that our possessions not overburden us so that we do not pursue the things of God's kingdom as we ought. We pray that our possessions don't take our mind off and our heart off the goal of heavenly glory and living with Jesus Christ in the new Jerusalem. So easy it is for us to become preoccupied with what we have, with our investments, with our property, with our possessions, so that every day we're consumed with worry about losing what we have. We become controlled then by mammon. And our life then isn't lived in thankfulness. It's not lived in joy. It's not lived out of contentment. The child of God prays this prayer knowing his or her sinfulness. I am a sinner saved by grace. And knows that whether rich or poor, I kneel down in prayer and I acknowledge that God is the one who is the giver of every good and perfect gift. And I pray this prayer requesting of God that increasingly he make me aware of my complete dependence upon him. So that I don't become proud. So that I don't become covetous. So that I'm not consumed with greed. That God work in me increasingly an awareness of my own frailty. I'm here today. I know not what tomorrow will bring. That God work in me the grace by which I trust in him day by day. This prayer, beloved, is a prayer for total submission and dependence, so that we withdraw all trust in self, as the Catechism states, that we follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, while on the earthly pilgrimage through all the afflictions and trials of life, that we fight that good fight of faith, laying hold on the promise of life everlasting. We work and we pray. We never work without praying. And in our work, always there's that prayer. Prayer that directs me heavenward, that reminds me my work and my labor is all dependent upon God. Not trusting in myself, looking to God for his blessing. I need his wisdom. I need his patience. I need contentment. I need all of the spiritual blessings. And as I pray for daily bread, I'm not just praying for that physical bread. I need also the blessing of God to accompany those good gifts from on high. The wicked receive the good gifts, but they don't receive God's blessing. I need God's blessing so that I can use those gifts in his service and for his glory. And so, beloved, we think about, what will I need tomorrow? I pray for rest so that I can get a good night's sleep and so that I can be faithful in the work to which God calls me. I pray for strength to be able to concentrate on my God-given responsibilities. I seek the necessary tools, the necessary clothing, the food that I need so I can serve my boss with the best of my ability. As a mother required to watch my children at home, what is my daily need? I need patience to be able to deal with the children that God has entrusted me with. I need wisdom to solve the problems that come up among them, to lead them to Christ. I need the strength and endurance, the health to take up that responsibility by God's grace. In all the circumstances of life, turning to God and making known to Him our daily need. Depending on our Heavenly Father to bless us, not just with earthly things, but with the spiritual blessing that accompanies those earthly things. Those earthly gifts in themselves would lead to destruction. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We need God's word. There's no grace to be found in the external things. The good gifts that the wicked receive are not gracious. But God must take these good gifts and work in us the grace by which these good gifts bear fruit in our lives. The fruit of thankfulness, the fruit of contentment, the fruit of glorifying and magnifying Him now and to all eternity. Beloved, as we pray this petition, give us this day our daily bread, we are pricked by the Spirit. So earthly minded I am, so greedy I am, so discontent with what God has given. I recognize my sinful desire to keep up with those around me, to want what others have. Forgive me. And God directs us by His grace to Christ, my Savior, who gave up everything in order that He might die for me, who became poor in order that I might be rich. Not rich in the things of this life, but rich in those things that matter, spiritual things, and to give me the grace to look to Him and to know contentment in Him. God gives to us a beautiful prayer. Teach me to seek the things that are spiritual, to trust that Thou wilt give me everything that I need. Teach me not to become consumed with worry and anxiety with regard to the future, but give me the trust that I need with respect to everything earthly, and to acknowledge ultimately that God's loving kindness is that which is better to me even than life. That Jehovah God and His fatherly love for me is that which will preserve and keep me and will lead me to the glory that awaits. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, a word with which we are very familiar, a word that we know. And yet good it is for us again to be reminded in a fresh way concerning our need, to look to Thee, to lean on Thee, to live humbly in the midst of this prosperous life, and to give all glory and honor unto Thee, the God of our salvation. We thank Thee for Thy promises. We thank Thee for the wonder of forgiveness in Jesus Christ, and we pray that Thou wilt preserve and keep us through the temptations of this life, that we might live daily, consciously praying. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen. We turn to Psalter number 398. The Lord upholds the faltering feet